Refuge Freedom Stories, brought to you by Refuge Ministries Canada. For the next half hour, your hearts will be filled with hope as you hear real-life stories from individuals that have been changed by the power of God. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Refuge Freedom Stories. I'm your host, Johnny T. And today my guest is Aaron Guyette. Aaron is a disciple in Christ, a husband, a father, a teacher, and successfully led Marines in combat in Kuwait and Iraq. He continues to lead and teach Marines stateside as an infantry instructor and leader in the Marine Corps Reserve, and also founded Leaders of Leaders, unapologetically proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the leader of all leaders. Aaron, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure and an honor, Johnny. Thank you so much.
It's an honor for me to have you here. And first and foremost, let me thank you for your service. I have a great respect for anybody that puts their life on the line for their country. I'm not a veteran myself, but I do respect all that you've done and continue to do for your country. So God bless you for that.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know if God is necessarily blessing me for that at this point, though. It's one thing to fight for your brothers. It's quite different to fight for what seems to be falling apart and, losing its truth, its goodness, and its beauty. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm with the rest of our nation enduring God's wrath right now, God's judgment. I don't know, but I am here to glorify God and enjoy him with you. So,
amen. And it's not much different up here in the Great White North. So we're on the same page.
I know.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's get to your journey of faith. I was interested when I read about how you were in the Marines, and there was a point in time where you felt like your prayers weren't answered in Kuwait and Iraq, and you weren't really specific about that. But I wanted to ask you about that because being in those kind of situations, I've had other veterans on the show and talked about PTSD and things like that with the struggles. So from what I understand, you weren't a Christian at that point in time. So when you talk about your prayers not being answered, can you kind of expand on that? Like, what were your mental thoughts about prayer and how did you expect them to be answered if you didn't really have a relationship with God?
Yeah, precisely the point, Johnny. That's exactly where I was at. No, yeah. So the interesting part is I grew up, the first half of my childhood was at a charismatic, very spirit-filled type church. We're talking speaking in tongues, interpreting, and dancing down the aisles, anointings and things like that happening regularly on Sundays. And then we did church shopping because that pastor ended up leaving and the church kind of fell apart. We did church shopping. We shopped at every denomination and then ultimately landed on what my mom was raised in, which was Roman Catholic. And that's very much the other side of the whole spectrum. And so the last half of my childhood was Roman Catholic. And then if you're in a home where you are a good Christian on Sundays, but then you're kind of the rest of the world every other day, you sort of immediately pick up the skepticism about everything. And then you get taught in the public schools that there's no God and it's evolution and science answers all the questions. And that's essentially when I joined the Marine Corps. That's where my head was at. And I really wanted to believe in God, but then I succumbed to peer pressure just like anybody else. I succumbed to the most common propagandized message that was coming into my ear. If it was kill by the Marines, then it was kill. And if it was evolution is the reality, then evolution is the reality. And then kind of hop from sort of thought pond to thought pond, which isn't really truly thinking. And that sort of pervaded and was my 20 stupid years anyways. That's the thesis of my childhood and 20s. Yeah, so when I was in Kuwait, I really did want to know. I had this romantic ideal of the Marine Corps, which obviously never really transpired. And nothing is the romantic ideal that you think it is, right? When you start to live things out, things are either a lot more boring or a lot more challenging or whatever the case might be in any area, avenue, industry, whatever, right? And everything is hard before it's easy. So I just really wanted to know the answer. And in my innocence, maybe, or stupidity, whichever way this is, yes, and the same. In my ignorance, I prayed, if God is real, God, if you are real, then you will kill me in combat, and then I'll know if there's heaven or hell. Which, again,
to find out.
Yeah, that's a pretty rapid way to find out how stupid you are, I guess. I don't know. And the thing is, I'm not downplaying anybody that might be in that, because I really did fervently feel that in my heart of hearts. Like, that is where my heart was at. So at least like David, I was just exclaiming what was going on in my heart. Unfortunately, unlike David, I did not fear the Lord. And so that brought me to say that kind of ridiculous prayer, and I didn't die. And so then I thought, well, that answers that. God isn't real. And so I tried to live life as honestly as I could without the foundation of a God, which means truth is now gone, goodness is now gone, beauty is now gone. Those are just arbitrary happenings of the natural outpouring of this burping evolution and creation. Mm-hmm. And I obviously saying creation, that shows my worldview now, but this created thing or this happened thing, this physical materialistic thing that was around me, but it came to a head in that nihilistic sort of living. One, I was pretending all of the time. Because pretending that there's truth and following rules that were arbitrary, continuing that there's goodness and following what is quote unquote moral so you don't become a social outcast. And but that came to a head because I just couldn't shake this inner feeling, and because God writes morality on our hearts, I couldn't shake this inner feeling of the strong person abusing the weak person. Even my own self, like even if I ever preyed on the weak or whatever, objectified women or something like that, I didn't like that. You know, that's despicable. That's wrong. Well, why is it despicable? Why is it wrong? Mm-hmm. And so I jumped into a bunch of different other religions and other philosophies to try to answer that question. And all of those different religious experiences, I did everything that you were supposed to do in them. I would read their book. I would get a mentor. I would do what they said to do. But they all seemed two or three questions away from logical absurdity, which is just like that something comes from nothing. I mean, that's mm-hmm. just as absurd mm-hmm. as you can get. And so God did not create this ex nihilo, then how did just something pop into existence on its own volition and apparent merit? And so that's sort of, it's cool because it drew me into logic. It drew me into reasoning, which again, shouldn't exist without God. It wouldn't exist because that's truth, right? The truth part of truth, goodness, and beauty that mm-hmm. God is. And so then the outpouring of all his creation is. And yeah, and so that came to a head. But that sort of answers that prayer thing and gives a little bit of context of what was going on in my mind and why that ridiculousness happened.
I think it's interesting because you certainly wouldn't be alone. Anybody that's searching, they're going to travel down a bunch of different roads, and the that's world right. always offers, and the enemy, he always offers right. us distractions and counterfeits and things like that. But if you really have a heart for God, and God knows that, you're going to find your way to him because all of those other things are empty. They really are just like yeah. a fancy dressing on a lie. Yeah. It makes me think of that saying, you can't put lipstick on a pig.
That's right. Yeah, you can't. You know, but I tried a lot.
Yeah. So, but you did come to that final realization. And yeah. it's funny you talk about God using the rationality of Christianity to speak to your heart. He's different in how he speaks to everybody's heart because everybody needs to find the truth of Christ in their own way because we're all created individually, right?
Yeah. 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 And the interesting part is like when I, so just like all the other religions, I was like, I'm going to read the Bible cover to cover and I'm going to get a spiritual mentor or a pastor in this case to help kind of guide me in this. And the pastor's like, well, maybe start in the New Testament, read all the way through that, then go to the Old and then read through that. And whether that was a good advice or not, it didn't matter. I read every single page. And it was interesting because when I read every single page at that time, my major sin, you know, we all fall short of God's glorious standard, mm-hmm. right? But my major sin was sexual immorality. And so I felt like every other page was pointing out my sexual immorality, which is interesting because I've read the Bible all the way through way too many times since then. And that's not how I've read it. And I have read some of the pages that say that, but it's not on every other page. There is a bit of it, quite a bit of it. But yeah, super interesting how God speaks to our emotional present place, as well as our intellectual present place in where it is and how it is that he needs to speak to it as he calls us to him and gives us the grace to be able to even see that, right? And so, yeah, very convicted and that brought me to my knees. But it was interesting because I was doing all of these things. I was going to church every Sunday. I joined a small group, a men's group. And I was just really honest when I talked to the pastor that was guiding me. His name is Ian Stevenson. He's still a really good friend of mine. Anyways, I won't go down that rabbit hole. But yes, talking with him and then going on short-term missions trips to India and things like that. And he told me, it was May 21st, 2009. He told, it was on a, in a little Starbucks on the corner of like a highway, Newport Boulevard and Fair. And I just remember the table that I was sitting at. I remember, you know, talking to him. And then he just hits me with this question. He goes, yeah, I really love that you're, you know, wrestling with God and wrestling with what is true and what's not true and what's good and what's not good. And I really love that. But it seems to me that you're just white knuckling it and trying to control the outcome. Why don't you let go and let God guide your life and give your life to Jesus Christ and see what happens? And so it was like he hit exactly the button at the exact time that I needed to hear it. And it was obviously God speaking through him. And so I was like, I don't know what that looks like, but here I am. And I didn't say anything audibly to him. It was like afterwards. And I remember I was going to cross the crosswalk and I was sitting at that and I was like, oh God, I don't know what this looks like, but my life is yours for whatever you want. And then at that point, it was like all bets were off. I lost like 75% of my business. I lost a bunch of, you know, I was in fitness and I was like, I lost 30 pounds of muscle. I lost every single girl that was trying to make me feel like a man or whatever. And I lost all my friends because they were all secular friends that, oh, you're this crazy religious guy now. And I couldn't have been more content in my entire life. I was the most content in losing all the world measures of success.
Yeah, it's a couple of interesting things that you mentioned there where you said you didn't really have like an official prayer type of thing to give your life to Christ, but God knows us. He knows who we are and what we need to be in that moment. And I just want to encourage everybody who's listening, you don't have to say a specific written
it's not
type
a formula.
Of prayer. It's not a formal thing. It's like just recognition in your heart that you need Christ to help you. And it's as simple as that. He'll meet anybody who goes to him. You know, he says he won't cast anybody away who comes to him with an honest and an open heart. Right. And it's interesting too, when you talk about perceived friends, you air quotes, friends and all those acquaintances and things like that. I had the same experience in my life too. And I don't know what they thought of me, but they definitely saw a difference. You know, all of a sudden you go from one point in life to this radical person talking about this Jesus guy and what he's done for you. And you just can't stop talking about it. And people don't always see the reality of that. And they don't necessarily see their own need in their life. And I just want to bridge over to the ministry that you started talking about leaders of leaders and how important it is that not only do we have to live out our Christian faith to those around us, but we also need to demonstrate that leadership founded on Christ to others so we can mentor them and help them in their journey, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, so Jesus Christ was the most masculine man. He was the greatest leader of all human history. And we know that because our historic tracking of years are hinged on his moment on our earth. And he said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, he said, Jesus came and said to them, I've been given all authority on heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And I will be with you always to the end of the age. And I don't take that lightly. I mean, he is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the boss of bosses, the leader of leaders. And so if that is the case, then we ought to be, if we're looking to be better leaders, we ought to be looking at him. And that means any sphere of influence. So my five-year-old son has a sphere of influence of other kids and other people that might be looking to him in certain moments where he could lead them in some small way, shape, or form. Businesses, a show has a sphere of influence. Businesses have a sphere of influence, churches, governments, right? All of this. And if we're not submitted under the authority of Christ, then we're doing it wrong, like plain straight up, you know? And so how ought we to submit? And so I see it in a lot of different realms. And so I'll do some business stuff, some military stuff, some church stuff, and a lot of family stuff because the family is far more powerful. The family is the special forces unit as I see it, right? We are the special forces unit put on this earth to bring God's kingdom to all the edges of the earth, right? To fulfill the promise that was given to Abraham, right? It will be the stars in the sky. Yeah, and that's just how I can't shake that worldview. And so, you know, I wanted to generate some leadership help for youth, for adults. And I just thought, well, if we're not taking that image that Christ has given us, and understanding what that is and how to play that out, then I think we're doing it wrong.
Well, you know, you must be doing it right because there's such an attack on the family in this day and age. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against them. Clearly you're at the pointed end of that stick, at the forefront for sure. And when you're mentoring leaders and others who come to participate in the ministry or participate in the learning and so on, What do you find has been the biggest challenge or the biggest battle for leaders today?
Yeah, I think
other than the clearly obvious that we see around us every day.
I would say the obvious that we see is also intruded into the Christian's life much more than the Christian thinks, and to include myself. The cultural milieu or the culture that we've been steeped in, like thinking like a tea, has far more pervasive and profound effects into our own lives and the lives of those that we lead, right, in spheres of influence. And so God gifted us with this incredible special revelation, right, to help build a strong foundation, a firm foundation from which we can actually lead appropriately, do things appropriately, and fight against, like you said, right, be the pointy end of that stick to fight against the things that are said against it. And unfortunately, what happens is, as Christians, we want to, including myself, I've been caught in this way too many times, to act like I'm somehow above it or something, where, oh, I want to meld some of this cool culture stuff that everybody likes and can agree with the Bible and what Jesus said, hey, teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. And yeah, let's do this cool little melding. And that's a recipe for disaster from an eternal standpoint. It might give you short-term, and when I say short-term, I even mean like a decade-long amount of success. And probably because there's some sort of truth, God truth in that. But like you said earlier, it's a deception. And what it will do is it'll lead you down this road that becomes sort of this endless trajectory that is not the will of God, right? And so then you find yourself at the end of that. How did I get lost over? I'm like way off the mark now. I'm not following what God's will is. I am in sin now. But I wasn't in sin for the first 2 years or the first 3 years. It seemed like this was appropriate, but it was just off enough for you to not notice. And that is how the deceiver deceives. That is the perfect way. It's like, yeah, Christian, you are doing awesome. You should think about how awesome you are doing. And then you're, before you know it, you're not following Christ. You're not submitted to the Lord. You're worshiping yourself. And so it starts with appropriate and proper worship in accordance with God's word. And that is the center. And then from there, you're walking out the scriptural truths as you distill them appropriately and properly. And so a lot of times you need a church body to be able to understand like, oh, dang, I am off. Like I'm getting sanctified today because I had pride or I had some lust of the flesh. And it wasn't even a sexual thing. It was like, I just really desired this good feeling that I got from fitness. And then I got wrapped up into this fitness thing and it became a sinful walk, even though fitness is appropriate for Christians. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We should care for it, but we shouldn't idolize it. And so that's, to me, it's the steeping of culture that we think that we're doing the Christian thing. And then we find out, you know, as we lay that out, that it was actually culture that was giving us our signals. It was culture that we were getting our truths from, not God's word. I mean, the beauty is this hasn't changed for 2,000 years, you know, and it's still true today. It's just as true today as it was 2,000 years ago, as it was looking in the Old Testament 3,000 years ago. So,
yeah, definitely a lot of truth in that. And those same tactics that the enemy would use on us personally, he's also using in the churches today.
That's right.
To become more, quote unquote, relevant to social society and,
that's right,
and to try and win people because it's a feel-good place to go or there's no direct confrontation about holding up the standard of the Bible against any kind of lifestyle that doesn't fit in with that. But God set out the word for us for good reason, because it's how he wants us to live and how we're going to live successfully when we follow the things that he puts in there for us to do, right? So that's a big thing for sure. Now, I know also that you have an app as well called Discipled in Christ. I actually signed up for it today.
So
I'm going to be checking that out.
I'll see you in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you'll find me in there.
Cool.
And just wanted to ask if our audience wanted to find out more about your Leader of Leaders ministry and this Discipled in Christ app, where would they go?
Yeah, a Discipled in Christ app is probably the easiest, whether it's iPhone or Android, doesn't matter. It's in your app store. It's absolutely free. Every single course in there is absolutely free. That was something that God put on my heart early on and then reconfirmed it again and again and again. It's like, you're not going to charge for any of these courses or anything like that. It's purely donation ran. And so we barely scrape by, but it doesn't matter. We scrape by and the Lord blesses that. So yeah, Discipled in Christ. and then you could connect with me and learn of the Leaders of Leaders stuff. But if you wanted to kind of just peruse some of the things that are happening in the Leaders of Leaders, that would be on leadersofleaders.org. And so there's a website, but it's just a short little website, and a lot of it nods to the Discipled in Christ, because that's the crux of the coursework. If you're afar, if you're not coming to one of the events or something, is going to all be found in Discipled Christ. That's where everything is housed, because it's just a really good learning platform for that. And so we have discipleship courses. That was the main kind of the cornerstone that started everything, was a 100-day discipleship course called 100 in His Strength, kind of a playoff 100%. Jesus Christ, his strength, and then 100 days, because it's 30 days to build a habit, 30 days to turn that habit into a routine, 30 more days to take that routine and turn it into a lifestyle, and then the last 10 days committing that lifestyle to Christ for the rest of your life. And it's just the basics of worship, prayer, scripture, journaling, exercise, and love. And it just gives a really short way for you to easily apply this into your life if you're not there yet and you are looking for discipleship, because not every church, but there's a lot of churches that they sort of lost Christ looking for followers and forgot about this whole discipleship piece that Jesus Christ said, and disciple the nations. Mm-hmm. So we even offer it to churches as, hey, this can be your format that you can run if you don't have a discipleship, any sort of coursework or small group or groups or anything like that, you can run off of this. So it's more than just the Lord's Day, more than just Sunday. It's every day of the week. Cool. Because we're Christians every day of the week.
Amen. Amen to that. Okay, one final question for you.
Yeah.
What's the one thing you would tell people about God?
Oh man, He is the only being that is worthy of worship. And if you meditate on that, that is an infinite amount for you to contemplate from today until the rest of eternity.
Amen. I agree 100%. Well, thanks so much for being on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and God bless you and all you do with your ministry and the app. And I'm expecting to hear and see awesome things come out of that. So God bless you, and thanks for being here.
Well, God bless you, Johnny T. Thank you so much. It was an honor and a pleasure.
Decision. This is no game. valleys. I feel no evil because God is with me. Even though I run through the fields and valleys, I ride a suffering and feel comfort me. Even though I run through the fields and valleys, I feel no evil because God is with me. Even though I run through the fields and valleys, I ride a suffering and feel comfort me.
You have enjoyed the last half hour as much as I did. Thank you again to Refuge Ministries Canada for hosting the show. So until next Friday, may God richly bless you with peace, love, and happiness.
We at Refuge Ministries are so blessed by the success of Refuge Freedom Stories and podcasts. In addition, we focus on youth prison ministry, release kits, and many other diverse outreaches to the needs of our community. As a nonprofit, there are many costs involved, however, and we are asking for your support. Financial gifts can be made via our website at www.refugeministriescanada.com or by calling 519-701-0108. Your giving makes this work possible, and we thank you in advance for your support. That's 519-701-0108. God bless you.